We're going to begin tonight with number 165. 165. Shall we stand? Much as possible, you kneel with me in the opening prayer. Our kind and gracious Heavenly Father, we come this day and we thank you, Lord, for the many blessings of life. We thank you, Lord, for this opportunity to come and hear your word preached unto us. We pray, dear Heavenly Father, that your spirit will be with us this evening, that it will rest upon the speaker, that you will open his mind unto the leading of that spirit, that you can deliver through him words that you'd have for us to hear this very evening. I pray, Lord, that each one of us, as we've come here this night, that we've prepared ourselves to receive that message, to take it to our heart, to use it to and apply it to our lives, and use it to help us to improve our everyday walk through this life, that we will be a light unto the world, and that we will make ourselves acceptable before your eyes, that we someday can enter into the kingdom of heaven. I pray, dear Heavenly Father, that you be with the many sick. Those who are administered to this day, Lord, we know that they have great needs, and we pray that you will bless them, that you will lift them up, that you will strengthen them, that you will attend to their very needs, and that you will give them comfort and a knowledge that you're always with them and that you care for them. I ask you, dear Heavenly Father, to be with our children, that you will always guide and direct their paths, that you will be a buffer between them and the world, that you will give them the strength and the guidance and the wisdom to make sound decisions, to make decisions according to your gospel and according to those things which will help them to be good citizens and be good members of this body. Lord, we pray this time that your spirit will be with us during this service. And we thank you, dear Heavenly Father, that we have this little chapel where we can come and worship you. And so as we come this evening, we glorify your name in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Let's continue with number 206. 206. Let's stand once again.
Thou art my King, Thou art my Savior.
Ask you now to give your careful attention to our brother as he comes this night and shares with us a few words of the gospel. I give you our brother, Andy Brown.
Thank you, Brian. Good evening to each of you. This morning, Brian said, well, we'd just trade places tonight. So we did, but I asked him this morning, I said, well, you know, if you wanted to, you could just save half your notes and he could do the other half tonight, but he didn't go for it, so I wasn't feeling that well this morning, and I still aren't feeling that well, but not too bad. My wife's been sick for a few days, and I think she's trying to give it to me. I'm trying not to let her, but she may win. I have several thoughts this evening as I would come, and I certainly don't, as I usually don't feel adequate to deliver any message, but we give it our best shot. To start with, I had a thought that was really outside of what I had prepared as I walked down here this evening. And I noticed this thought comes to me fairly often whenever I meditate upon the Scriptures and upon the Lord, and perhaps something that the Lord is impressing upon my mind for my own benefit, but I'd like to share it with you. And I'm not going to turn to it in the Scriptures because it's very familiar to each of us, but you know, the need in our day, I feel, is so great that we concentrate our energy, that the question I have to ask myself is do I truly love the Lord with all my heart, might, mind, and strength? I know Brian mentioned this morning, you know, a lot of people say, well, I believe in God, or I serve the Lord, or yeah, I love the Lord, but do I truly love the Lord with all my heart, might, mind, and strength? Or do I find myself getting the desires of my heart placed upon things in this life, upon things of this world, upon things I might obtain or achieve in my own strength and to my own glory? And so that's one thought I had. And another thought is that is each day as we walk, each thing that we do, things that we say, the way we act to people and react to people, does it glorify God? Does it bring some glory to God? Now, I can look at my own life and it's an easy question for me to answer. No, it doesn't, you know. And like I say, maybe some things that the Lord's trying to place upon my heart for my own benefit, but I'm sure that it would be helpful to others as well. That the things we do might glorify God, not ourselves, not people around us. I'd like to begin this evening in the third book of Nephi in the 8th chapter. And I'm going to read a few verses here, and then we're going to go back and take a little closer look at them. Starting in the 49th verse through the 58th verse, if you're following along. It says, behold, I am the light. I have set the example for you. It came to pass that when Jesus had spoke these words unto his disciples, he turned again to the multitude and said unto them, behold, verily, verily, I say unto you, ye must watch and pray always, lest ye enter into temptation. For Satan desires to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. Wherefore, ye must always pray unto the Father in my name. And whatsoever ye shall ask the Father in my name, which is right, believing that ye shall receive it, behold, it shall be given unto you. Pray in your families unto the Father, always in my name, and your wives and children may be blessed. And behold, ye shall meet together oft, and ye shall not forbid any man from coming unto you when ye shall meet together, but suffer them that they may come unto you, and forbid them not. But ye shall pray for them, and shall not cast them out, And if it so be that they come unto you oft, ye shall pray for them unto the Father in my name. Wherefore, hold up your light that it may shine unto the world. Behold, I am the light which ye shall hold up, that which ye have seen me do. Behold, ye see that I have prayed unto the Father, and ye are all witnesses, and ye see that I have commanded that none should go away, but rather that I have commanded that ye should come unto me, that ye might feel and see. Even so shall ye do unto the world, and whosoever breaketh this commandment suffereth himself to be led into temptation. And now it come to pass that when Jesus had spoken these words, he turned his eyes again to his disciple whom he had chosen. I read this and I looked through these few verses here, and I wrote down a few little simple statements that we might get out of these few verses here that we could apply to our lives and just looking at the scriptures and looking at ourselves. Christ said that I am the light, and I have set the example. He has set the example. If there's something in our life today that we're not sure about, that we're not sure which thing we should be doing or what we should be doing or thinking, He has set the example. It says, you must watch and pray always, lest you be entered into temptation. This is probably a lesson that each of us have learned over the years in our own life, each of us that are of any age, that when we get careless in our prayers and careless in maybe spending the time we should in prayer, we're going to find things all of a sudden springing up in our life that we are not sure what to do with. Temptations in our life. It says, praying to the Father in my name, believing that ye shall receive. You know, we can pray 10 hours a day, and if we don't believe in the God we're praying to, or if we don't believe that He's going to grant us the things we're praying, we're kind of wasting our time, huh? But in these few verses of Scripture, He's laid it out so simply that if it's right and believing that you shall receive it, it shall be given you. So there's a small criteria there that when we pray, we have to believe that we'll receive it and that it's right. I really truly believe that if I pray to the Lord that a new Corvette's going to show up in my driveway, it probably ain't going to happen because that's not really right. And I really don't believe He's going to do it. But if I do pray that He makes changes in my life or in my family's life, it's going to happen. It's going to happen if it's right. And pray for His instruction. Another thing that He talks about in prayer in another verse here is it says, pray in your families that your wives and children might be blessed. I perceive that this is perhaps a weakness in our church. I don't know. I know it's something difficult in my own life. We say prayers every night with our kids. But to truly get together and pray as a family, you need to think about it. That's not only in this verse, but in several places, especially in the Book of Mormon, it says you need to pray as a family. And that means everybody that lives in your house, whoever lives in your household, that you pray as a family, that your home and that your children and your wife or your husband might be blessed, that they might be blessed. And in our day and age, whenever most families don't even eat together, go to bed at different times, watch their own TV show in each room of the house, I could imagine it would be hard to pray together as a family. And something that we need to concentrate upon if our little church here is going to continue to grow and our families are going to be prosperous spiritually. Meet together oft and suffer that none be forbidden to come among you. Certainly something that we need to think about. Probably most of us that are here on a Sunday evening believe in that we do need to meet together oft. Otherwise, you probably wouldn't be here. But it's something that if the church doors are open, that we need to show up. We need to make an effort. And we certainly wouldn't desire that any would stay away. Whatever difficulty they have in their life, whatever problem they may have in their life, this is the place they're going to get help for it. It says, hold up your light unto the world that it may shine in the world. And of course, that light is Christ. We need to hold up our light that it shines in the world. I think we get to the point where we're kind of complacent. Where we're at in our place in life, I get up and go to work every morning. And there's a man I work with from time to time. Good guy. He's a bishop or something in the Mormon church. Really nice guy. And of course, he knows my belief, and we've discussed it in some great detail. But he runs into people off and on, different guys that work in different trades that belong to the Mormon church. And he'll tell me, so-and-so belongs to the Mormon church, or so-and-so belongs to the Mormon. So they get in little chats and talk. But I notice that most guys that I see maybe once a month or a couple times a month really don't perceive me of having any, you know, they can't tell that I'm any different than anybody else for the most part, because we have a limited association. And I have to stop and ask myself the question, is my light shining? Am I holding up any light in the world? Any guys that have worked for me for any distance length of time, they usually can figure out something's going on there, you know. But I guess the question, I find myself complacent in that a plumber that's worked on my job 20 times can say, well, Elmer's different. You know, they call me Elmer. Elmer's different than this guy, whenever someone may say something. But that's not really my light shining in the world. Is that the only light I have? Someone may recognize it, he's a little different. Not that immediately he would recognize that, you know, he belongs to the Church of Christ. He's let me know that. He's let me know that certain things are not allowed in his presence or in his belief. So we need to examine what kind of light we're holding up. Are we holding up our own little torch? Or are we holding up the light of Christ in the world? I don't understand my last note. Do as you have seen me do. That's the thing that we have to look at if we're going to have a question on what I should do next. Is do as you have seen me do. Do as you have seen Christ do. And he has answered every situation that we may find in our day and age. And I know some people may not agree with that because, you know, he didn't have cars or he didn't have all the complex problems in life that we have. But he has answered every situation that has to do with the heart and the mind of man. I'd like to go to Corinthians in the 1 Corinthians, 2nd chapter. And read a few verses there. Starting in the 9th verse, it says, "But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither hath it entered into the heart of man all of the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what a man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of a man which is in him. Even so the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given unto us of God, which things also we speak, not of the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, compelling spiritual things which are spiritual, comparing spiritual things which are spiritual. But the nature of man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is not judged of man. Here we look at something that to me is almost a tongue twister in some ways. The ninth verse is written that eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither entered into the heart of man the things that the Lord has prepared for us. And I believe that, you know. I know we've read and we've heard how beautiful this place called heaven is, or paradise. And we hear it compared to streets of gold and all the most beautiful things that this carnal man can understand. And whether it is or not, it really doesn't make any difference. We know it's far greater than even what we can conceive. But this little reading here, I believe Paul was speaking to us, to them, the Corinthians, that they might know you won't understand. You're not going to understand things are spiritual. Things that are spiritual, unless you think spiritually. You cannot compare your wisdom to the wisdom of God. You can't compare the wisdom of this world. And you can't rely on the things which are of our carnal nature, our carnal wisdom, to comprehend the things of God. But we have to rely on the Spirit of God, even that gift of the Holy Ghost, which teaches us and give us the word. He used the word discerned, that are spiritually discerned. And if we cannot spiritually discern things, then we're going to have a hard time, just like he was speaking, I believe it was just a few pages over here, and he says, I tried to feed you meat, but you couldn't take it because you weren't to that point. You have to have the milk of the gospel, and that's for us. We need to have the meat, but we need to receive that meat with spiritualness and not with carnalness. And if we seek to further our walk in life with Christ, we're going to have to shed off some of the carnal things. We can't think carnally 6 days a week and then show up here spiritually on the seventh day a week. It doesn't work. We have to every day of our life. And I think sometimes in my own life, I know the hurriedness of our day, and I find myself getting up before the sun does and working until the sun goes down and not really dedicating any of my time thinking spiritually, you know. I think a few moments spiritually as I say my prayer, perhaps on the way to work or over my morning meal and then over my lunch meal, and over my dinner time, and perhaps read a little something sitting at my house, or maybe my wife will read a story to us before we go to bed. That was it. You know, another 24 hours has elapsed, and yet only a few moments perhaps really thinking upon things spiritually, and the rest of that time was considering the carnal, physical things of life, which is just the way life is, I guess. But we have to endeavor to fight against that. We have to endeavor to be able to get ourselves to a place that we can think spiritually, we can discern spiritually, we can understand spiritually, if we're to really grasp hold of some of the truths of the gospel, as well as overcome some of these temptations that come into our life. I'd like to also read in the 10th chapter of 1 Corinthians, a verse or two. Starting in the first verse, it says, "Moreover, brethren, I would not that ye be ignorant how that our fathers were under the cloud, excuse me, and were all passed through the sea." He's talking about Moses and the children of Israel. "And were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea, and did all eat the same spiritual meat, and did all drink," and let's listen to the word "all" as we read this, "and did all drink of the same spiritual drink, and they drank of the spiritual rock which flowed, followed them, and that rock was Christ." But with many of them God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. Now these things were our example, to the intent that we should not lust after the evil things as they also lusted, neither be ye idolaters as were some of them. As it is written, the people did sit down to eat and drink and rose up to play. Neither let us commit fornication as some of them committed and fell in one day 33,000. Neither let us tempt Christ as some of them also tempted and were destroyed of serpents. Neither murmur ye as some of them also murmured and were destroyed of the destroyer. Now all these things happened unto them for an example, and they are written for our admonishment unto whom the ends of the world are come. Wherefore, let them who think they stand take heed lest they fall. My point here is that they all were under the cloud, and that they all did drink, and they did all pass through the sea and ate of that spiritual meat, that spiritual manna. And yet, you know, it says 30, in one day 33,000, you know, fell, and that many were destroyed because of different temptations, but yet they all drank and ate and followed after the same spiritual strength that that Moses had, and that the Lord showed unto him mercy. And as Brian in his sermon this morning talked about the fact that, you know, Moses himself did not enter into the promised land. That's one thing the Lord said, I'm not going to let you cross the river. And we can all come here. We all have the same spiritual food in the scriptures. We can all come and partake of that same spirit. But it's up to us, each and every one of us individually, whether we allow ourselves to not pray and be tempted, whether we allow ourselves to be consumed in the lust of our own desires, or follow after whatever temptation that might overcome us. And so just beware. And we can use this as an example that Moses and his thousands upon thousands of the children of Israel, the Lord did bless greatly. And then several of them did not ever inherit the promised land or eternal life. Read a scripture in Galatians. Just a few words in the 5th chapter of Galatians, in the 22nd verse through the end of that chapter. It says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh and the affections thereof, and the affections of and lust. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another or envying one another. Here, he just lists off a few things that should be in our life: long suffering, peace, joy, meekness, temperance. And then he says, you know, if we want to live after the Spirit, we have to walk after the Spirit, and we can't desire vainglory. And that's what one of my statements at the beginning of this was that, you know, what do we do things for? Why do we do the things we do? Do we do it for our glory? Or do we do it for the glory of God? And for His glory, and for the furtherment of His cause? Or are we trying to further ourselves in the world? In Philippians, in the 4th chapter, again, I'd like to read a couple verses. In the 5th, make that the 6th. Verse in the 4th chapter. It says, be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding,
shall keep your heart and mind through Christ Jesus. Isn't that what we want? Two things there. One, you know, through prayer and supplication, let your requests be known to God with thanksgiving. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep our hearts and minds. I can tell you, just from my own experience in this day and age and with the many things that we run into each and every day. Each and every day, you know, I get on the elevator at work with somebody and they say something, or somebody comes on my job and they say something, and it just, of course, maybe some of you don't have as many contacts with people, but, you know, I probably say 100 people, say something to 100 people every day, you know, either someone that works with me or someone I'm just running into in the hall type thing. And, you know, we need the Lord to keep our heart and mind through Christ. Our thoughts, what we think, what we say, and what do people perceive us as? Not necessarily as, oh, he's a wonderful person, but is he perceiving us as a servant of God? Are they perceiving us as a Christian, as a follower of Christ? Or whenever they have that 30-second or minute or two-minute little conversation with you in the elevator or in the hallway, what are their thoughts when they leave? You know, what are your thoughts? Are your thoughts being preserved through Christ, or are your thoughts going wild? 1 Thessalonians, I'd also like to read a verse or two. The 5th chapter, starting in the 2nd verse. Says, for you yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. For when they say, surely peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. But ye, brethren, are not of the darkness, that day should overcome you as a thief. I'm going to read several verses here, so if you can follow along, it may make it a little easier. He's talking to us. Ye, brethren, you brothers and sisters in this congregation, are not of the darkness, so this day should not overcome you as a thief. You should be aware of the fact that Christ is going to return. Ye are all children of the light, and the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of the darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. Again, is that us? Is that the thing that people think? Is some stranger come in this room and had a service with us and visited us for a while? That's the thing he needs to think. These are the children of the light. They have the light of Christ. They are not of the darkness, and they're not asleep, and they're sober. They're serious about this gospel of Christ. For they that sleep in the night, and they that are drunken are drunken in the night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and the helmet of hope and of salvation. For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ. God hasn't appointed us to do anything on our own strength. He hasn't appointed us to obtain salvation by some great heroic thing or some thing that we're going to do of our own, but by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. Wherefore, comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even also ye do. And we beseech you, brethren, to know them that labor among you and are over you in the Lord, and admonish you to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake, and be at peace among yourselves. He's telling us that just a few pointers to do, and he's talking to these people as he's the one that is over them in the Lord, and esteem them highly, not for their own sake, not for the brother who is the teacher to them, but for the work's sake, for the gospel's sake. And we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly, comfort the feeble-minded, support the weak, be patient towards all men. And Brian touched on that a little bit this morning, that we have to be tolerant of one another's weaknesses. And, my wife and I get in these discussions all the time think about our own weaknesses and perhaps someone else's. And, you know, we're not all at the same place on this ladder that we're climbing. We're not all at the same place in life, in our experiences. We're not all at the same place in the gospel. And we need to be patient and tolerant one with another and support the weak and comfort the feeble-minded and comfort those who are having difficulties. See that none render evil for evil unto any man, but ever follow that which is good, both among yourselves and to all men. Rejoice evermore, pray without ceasing. Pray without ceasing. And in almost every scripture I've read this evening, we must pray without ceasing. We must pray or we're going to be found in temptations. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Quench not the Spirit. I may be going too far here. 23, no. Quench not the Spirit. Despise not prophesying. Prove all things and hold fast to that which is a good. Abstain from all appearance of evil. And in every and the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray God your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, that could be any one of our prayers for anybody else in here, for the rest of the body in here, that we be preserved blameless until the end, till the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. He gives us a lot of meat here in a few verses, a lot of things to think upon. Basically, do this and don't do that, you know. And all of it, I find, is right back to this verse I read and kind of dissected over here. And that was, what was the last one of those? Do as ye have seen me done. He is describing the way Christ dealt with people. Lovingly, kindly, patiently, and realizing, and I think sometimes that, and I know I find myself doing this in a physical sense, and that is if I'm out there working, say I'm building a house or building a farm somewhere, and I'm packing four boards on my shoulder, I think everybody ought to be packing four boards on their shoulder, you know. If I'm nailing five boards a minute in, then everybody ought to be nailing, and that's not necessarily true. Because some of those carpenters may be old, some of them may be apprentices, some of them may not really care, may be sick that day, who knows what. But we're not all at the same place, and we're not all going to produce or think or act in the same way. But that doesn't mean the Lord loves any of us any less. He just is trying to coax us all to the same point in our preparation to live with Him eternally and to promote His gospel here upon the earth in loving and kind and in a manner that would exemplify His life upon the earth. I had one other verse, and I think I'm going to skip it. I would encourage us, though, to think upon these things that I brought to you this evening. But perhaps the one thing more than any is that we have a need to pray for each other and to pray in our families, in our homes, and examine our hearts and our lives to see if we're truly holding up that light of Christ. Ask yourself the question. Do you love the Lord with all your heart, might, mind, and strength? It's the things you do to His glory and to His benefit and not your own. Thank you.
Yes, ma'am.
I just wanted to ask people.
You can turn to number 286, 286 for a closing song. Shall we stand? Kind of gracious Heavenly Father, as we come to the close of this service and this day, we thank you, dear Heavenly Father, for the time that we've had to spend here together. We thank you, dear Heavenly Father, for the message that's been brought. We pray, dear Heavenly Father, that you give us strength, that you give us the courage to submit our wills unto yours, that we can go out and we can live a life that is suitable unto you, that we can be a light that the world can look at us and see Christ shining forth. I pray, dear Heavenly Father, that you forgive us each of our sins and our weaknesses. We pray, Lord, that you make us strong in those areas, that you encourage us, that you will comfort us where we need encouragement and comfort. Lord, I pray for those who have physical problems, that you will uplift them, that you will strengthen them, that you will bless them, that if it be possible, Lord, and according to your will, that you will even heal them. Lord, I ask you once